that special feeling when the envelope arrives saying there was an error on the tax return and here's what you owe. Apple this morning is experiencing just that special feeling. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The European Commission today said the second most valuable company in the world, indeed Apple, owes Ireland $14.5 billion in back taxes because of wrongful tax breaks. Apple said today it will appeal, and actually so will Ireland. BBC business reporter Russell Padmore joins us here from London. Good morning to you, Russell.
Good morning to you, David.
So about a dozen years ago, according to the European Union here, Apple was paying about 1% tax to Ireland. But recently it's been as low as what, Russell?
The European Commission this morning, David, has confirmed 0.005. In other words, in 2014, we're talking about 0.005%.
But what's the problem with that in the EU's view?
The European Commission has basically said that Ireland cut a deal to favour, perhaps, Apple over other companies. The European Union has decided that this is state aid, which is illegal under the laws of the European Union. Now, as I say, there's a wide issue here. But it's interesting how the EU is determined to slap what it sees as a record penalty on this American tech giant. Here's the Commissioner for Competition, Margrethe Vestager.
Two tax rulings granted by Ireland have artificially reduced Apple's tax burden for over two decades in breach of EU state aid rules. Apple now have to repay the benefits worth up to 13 billion euros plus interest.
Now, you'd think Ireland would be excited to begin the process of trying to collect $14.5 billion, but what is the Irish government's view on this?
The trouble is, if Ireland does collect that money, it undermines the very advantage, competitive advantage, that Ireland has enjoyed for some while against its EU rivals, offering a low rate of corporation tax. Although, when we look at what Apple's been paying, this is very, very low, David.
BBC business reporter Russell Padmore in London. Thank you.
David, thanks.
Now, the U.S. Treasury Department said this morning it is disappointed in the European decision. The Obama administration has seen the EU's campaign here as unfairly targeting American companies. Marketplace's Rima Krace explains why the U.S. seems to be on Apple's side here.
Last week, the U.S. Treasury warned that the European Commission was overstepping its powers and becoming a supranational tax authority. Alan Auerbach is an economics professor at UC Berkeley. He says the U.S. is trying to protect its revenue.
If Apple pays more taxes in Ireland, that means it will pay fewer taxes in the U.S.
Because the ruling could generate foreign tax credits. Another reason the U.S. is on Apple's team?
It's a big engine of activity in Silicon Valley and other places in the U.S., and Treasury may feel that it's important for Apple to remain a healthy company.
Diane Ring teaches international taxation at Boston College Law School. She says the U.S. is also upset because the commission is undermining existing tax treaties. Plus, the payment breaks precedent.
The expectation is it wouldn't be retroactive. It would be a forward-looking Ireland, you shouldn't do this again with Apple.
Apple says it'll try to appeal the decision, which could take years. I'm Rima Krace for Marketplace.
Many different ways to look at that revolutionary car service, Uber. It's the company with a whopping $9 or $10 billion in cash reserves on hand, or it's the company that lost $1.2 billion in the first half of this year, as we learned last week. I was calling around to my sources on this, and one sent an email back with a bold thesis, three words: Uber will fail. That prediction is from Eric Gordon, professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business, who we got on the line from Ann Arbor here. Professor, despite Uber's cash hoard, you think its version of the peer-to-peer economy just doesn't work?
The so-called sharing model works well for some people, but what Uber's teaching us is that sometimes it doesn't work for all, and it's not working for them. For the sharing economy to work, you basically need one side that has underused assets. Think about ride sharing when we were in college. Somebody had an underused car. He was driving home with a car half empty. Cost him very little to let us get in the car. That's how Uber started, but they've moved away from the model of we're going to take advantage of excess capacity and put something together that's good and economical by using excess capacity.
So what do they do instead? They're buying a lot of these cars.
So to get enough drivers, Uber has to get cars to people who don't have cars. Uber ends up having to finance those cars. So it ends up being a high capital business, an expensive business. They're not absorbing excess capacity. They're buying new cars or they're financing the purchase of new cars.
Now, Eric, I hear what you're saying. I can see your concern for the sustainability of Uber's model. But I just think of Amazon. There's a point back in the year 2000 where these folks lost $1.4 billion. They had some layoffs over there. And, you know, Amazon's still here.
The difference is Amazon lost money investing in things that scale. Buying another car, financing another car doesn't scale. So Uber's losing even more money than Amazon, but at the end of the day, it hasn't built anything.
Maybe we're underestimating the possibility that Uber does evolve its strategy. I mean, there's a point in the future where Uber may not have human beings drive those cars.
That's where they're trying to go. In fact, they're going to start experimenting with driverless cars in Pittsburgh. And Uber's CEO says that he's going to replace drivers with driverless cars. That might be the way Uber scales and ends up being worth almost $70 billion.
All right. Always good to talk to Eric Gordon, a professor at the University of Michigan's Ross School of Business. Eric, thank you.
My pleasure, David.
He's in Ann Arbor. And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.